Resume the seated position. All right. Thanks for doing that. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. So we are really glad you're here. This is a super duper momentous occasion. It's not really at all, actually. It's just the last time we're going to be here. And so from here on out, if you come here on a Sunday morning, you won't find us at all here. I know. And maybe that's your intention. I don't know. But if you want to be with us, you got to go to 25713 70th Avenue East. All right? That's where we're going to be. And so this glorious cathedral we call home will be not our home any longer. So yeah, you saw some of the pictures. Some of you used to be really young. And and some things you can't control. So that's just one of them. We are moving out of here. It's a really good experience that we've been having, and God has been leading us in this whole direction for the last. Actually, we were talking about it with somebody this morning. It's been almost 2 years since this process began, where God gave us the opportunity for this other property, and it's an old school, an elementary school that basically went out of business, and they tried to sell it to several different parties, and they came to us, and we were not interested either. About a year and a half later, things had changed for them and for us, and looked way more appealing, and we really felt that God was leading us to move into that place and leave this place. And so I know for many of you, this place is very special, and for me it is as well. Like Justin was saying, we've been in this building for 18 years, and so that's pretty special. A lot of memories, a lot of some of you young adults and some of you even 20-somethings were babies almost when you came to this building. I remember some of you as little children, and it's fun to think back and see that now you're not children at all. You're full-blown adults, and it's awesome to see the different things that God has done here. I remember dozens and dozens, probably over 100 baptisms that we've done here in this building. And that, what an experience that is, and all the different faces that come back. And so this building has a lot of very special memories. But as you look forward, you say the possibility for that same thing exists in the new building as well. And we're excited about that possibility, to be able to reach out to the neighbors there, to be able to proclaim the gospel, to be able to assist and encourage families and see God moving in people's lives in ways that he has done here. The building means nothing, really. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that does that work. The building is just a facilitator for that to happen. And so we're really excited to see what God is going to do in our new location. So I want to invite you to that service next week, 10 o'clock, just like always, in the new digs. So it's going to be a blast. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start there today. This is kind of, as I was thinking about all the different things that have been going on for the last, well, since we started about 25 years ago, I just really had an overwhelming sense that, man, God has just blessed us. There's just been a sense of the blessing of God. And I don't want to shortchange that. I don't want to be ungrateful. In fact, I want to talk about the blessing of God and talk about what that means for us and how he has blessed us. And this passage of Scripture is known as the Abrahamic Covenant, or part of the Abrahamic Covenant, where God comes to Abraham and says, here's what I'm going to do for you. This is my promise to you, Abraham. And in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, he says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for your abiding presence in our lives. Thank you for the way that you speak to us and you move us and you continue to redirect and focus us in on what you really want to accomplish, and that is to see your name glorified and your people living in great joy. And so, God, I pray that as you unfold your word for us today by the Holy Spirit, I pray that we would understand that better and that we'd be able to represent you more accurately as a result. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. He says to Abram, go from this place that you really feel comfortable in and go to this other place that I'm going to show you. And he says, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you not so that you can consume it upon yourselves and say, man, it's awesome being blessed by God, but so that you can be a blessing to others. And he said, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All the families, all the people groups, all the tribes and tongues and language groups, all of that, all of people are going to be blessed as a result of what I'm going to do in you. Now that's Old Testament. That's speaking specifically to Abraham, the father of the Judeo-Christian faith. But that carries through even today. And we read this in Galatians chapter 3. Paul writes, know then, in verse 7, that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So you and I, if you are in Christ, you're actually a son of faith in Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So when Abraham's making this covenant, or God's making the covenant with Abraham, and he says, you will be blessed. Paul says that blessing continues right on through the line to all of those who are of the faith. And if you are of the faith in this room, that promise is for you as well. You will be blessed. That God's blessing goes with you. That God's blessing is around you and about you. He is for you. Justin talked a little bit about the love of God and the special favor that he bestows on those whom he loves. That favor, that blessing is ours. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to declare, that's my inheritance, that God has blessed us, that God has blessed you specifically, your life, your family. And even though you still have struggles, and even though you still have hardship, God's blessing is on you. He is for you. Now, the wonderful thing about that is it does not stop with you. If it would have stopped, it would have stopped with Abraham. He would have been the only guy. But he says, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And as a result, we're the recipients of that. Now, if we view it in a really short-term kind of a way, we could say, the blessing is for me. It is about me. And it's all about me. And in a way, it is, because God looks at each one of us very uniquely, very special, for each one of us has that kind of a special, unique relationship with God. But it is not just for you, because there are many others who do not know him and are awaiting the blessing of God in their life as well. That God would bless the nations of the earth through Abraham comes right down to you, and he continues it through you and your life. That God is going to bless the nations of this world through you as a result of what he has done for centuries upon centuries. That he just continues the blessing through you. And it's a wonderful privilege that we have as ambassadors of the gospel to say that the blessing of God is going to be perpetuated through the work that he does in us as an individual, as a family, as a local church, in a region, throughout the nation, throughout the world, that God is going to bless the nations as a result of his promise to Abraham. In you, that promise is being carried out. And hopefully, we understand that along with that promise comes some responsibility to be able to say, I'm going to not only receive God's blessing, but I'm going to also proclaim God's blessing. I'm going to be a carrier of the blessing of God. It is not so that I can consume it upon myself and just say, well, thanks a lot, that feels pretty good. It's all about me, isn't it? No. It has to go beyond us. It has to go bigger than us. One of the primary motivators for us even leaving this building is to look around the new neighborhood and say there are thousands upon thousands of people closely bunched together in our new neighborhood. And we are loving that. that people are condensed and it just makes them easier to pluck off. I'm telling you, it's just easier that way. You shoot into a big herd, you're going to get something, you know. So I think it's going to be wonderful. Was that not the proper terminology? I don't know. A little coarse, a little crude. Sorry about that. In John chapter 8, Jesus said this about himself. He says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus is also of the line of Abraham, and he comes through, and he is the epitome of what God was talking about, that I'm going to bless the world through Abraham. And Jesus comes along in that lineage, and here he is, the blessing of the world, to the whole world. I am the light of the world, he says. I'm the light to the whole world. I am the ultimate blessing for mankind. And as a function of who he is, then we become people who are receiving the light of Christ, coming to God in us in a forgiven relationship because of the mercy and the love of God. And now we have this special, unique relationship one-on-one with the Creator of the universe as our Heavenly Father. What an amazing blessing that is. It's such a big, big deal. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and we can all become part of this grand picture of God, the grand narrative that he has by coming into Christ through faith. He has greatly blessed us, and I was just thinking about the different ways that he's blessed us, and here's five things, relatively quickly. I have to say relatively so I'm not your typical lying preacher. Okay, so relatively quickly, doesn't mean anything, okay? He has blessed us with his love and his mercy. Each of us who have come to Christ have understood the love and the mercy of God, because our sin created this a deserving wrath of God in our lives. Our sin created that wall between us and God. We deserve nothing but the wrath of God because of the stain of sin on our life. And yet, because of the love and the mercy of God, he looked beyond all of that in us, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And he extended his love and his mercy before we ever had a thought of who he was or really cared about what he meant to us or anything. He did that before we knew. One of the best illustrations of that is in Titus 3. And it says, verse 3, we ourselves were once, and he describes us, and he describes most of us to a T. He says, we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. What a glorious life we lived before Christ. Wasn't that wonderful? Just the best time of our life. No, it was a horrible time. We were distant from God. We were terrible people. We had stuff going on in us that we couldn't understand and couldn't control, and we didn't even like it, and we didn't like ourselves, and so we kind of try to bypass all of that and try to, you know, find a loophole. Verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, didn't say, but when you finally cleaned yourself up, when you finally picked yourself up by your own bootstraps, when you finally shaped your life up, no, he said, but when the loving kindness of God had nothing to do with us. He said, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified because we're such good people? No. Being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is just a beautiful picture of the love and the mercy of God. That it has nothing to do with us. We didn't earn anything. And I've talked to people about Jesus before, and they give me this bunch of hooey about the idea that, well, when I kind of clean myself up a little bit, then I'm going to make this step that you're talking about. So why would you even try that? You've tried that before, and it has never worked. It's never took. So why don't you just fall back onto the love and the mercy and the grace of God rather than trying this self-effort thing that just is a futile thing in the first place? It doesn't mean there's no effort on our part at all, but the effort that we exude toward trying to become more in alignment with who God is and be more representative of who Jesus is, it's got to be a grace-driven effort. It can't be one of those things where I'm going to gut it out and I'm going to be righteous. You just watch. I'm going to do all the stuff. And if I read my Bible and if I go to church and if I say all the nice words and if I help old lady across the street, then I'm going to be okay. It's like, no, you probably won't. You'll still be you. And that's not okay. And I've said it way too many times to repeat it, so I'll repeat it again, that you make a really crummy God. You're a crummy God for you. Your kids are a crummy God for you. Your spouse is a crummy God. Only God is a really, really good God. And when we have God as our God, we do pretty well. And the blessing of God comes through that. But when we try to do that ourselves and make stuff happen on our own, it falls apart on us pretty quickly. Psalm 36:7, the psalmist says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of delights." I just love the verbiage that he uses there, this drinking from the river of delights, that there's this overabiding sense of this delightful presence of God, where it's this river that flows. It's not a trickle. It's not just wringing out the last little bit of blessing from God. He says, just you drink from the river of delights. The God that we serve has abundant delight for us and comes about as a result of his love and mercy. He says, "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." So that's one of the great blessings. Here's another one. He has blessed us with a full life. He's blessed us with a full life. In John 10:10, it says this: "The thief has come only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, and that life to the full." And the actual language uses this word that actually means extraordinary or full life. That Jesus has come to bring us an extraordinary life. Not to make us a little better, not to make us a little happy, not to get us through the bumpy parts of the life that we live, but he has come to give us an extraordinary life. This is the blessing that comes as a result of being a child of God. We have this extraordinary life, and extraordinary can be defined in all kinds of ways, but understand that there's the different facets of this extraordinary life. Probably the most significant one is the understanding that we are children of the Most High God. That we have God, Creator God, the whole thing created by him, bam, spoken into existence, and he is our Father. Extraordinary. I don't deserve a dad like that. I don't deserve any of that, but he has blessed us with that kind of a thing. The third one is he has blessed us with a living, eternal hope. A living, eternal hope. Not a wish and a prayer or a dream and a thought and a happy thing. And it's a living hope, a real live living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy," again, "he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It's kept in heaven for you." Did a funeral yesterday. And it was a relief to be able to stand and say, this person knew Jesus Christ. And the hope that he is now living in can be yours, each one of you. Because this hope is not, it doesn't perish, it doesn't fade, it doesn't spoil, it never goes away. It is permanent, it's eternal. And when we breathe our last right here and we're done, that hope is going to be realized. We have been given this hope that goes beyond the grave. It goes beyond this life. That this hope extends into eternity, and eternity is a really, really long time. And this is our hope. It's not a hope that is going to like kind of last for a little while and then it fades away. It's not going to be a hope that kind of dims over time. But this hope, it actually gets brighter and brighter as you get closer to realizing it. You start recognizing the magnitude of this hope. It's a powerful, powerful motivator in life. And this blessing has been given to us. The fourth one is that he's blessed us with spiritual gifts. Each one of us in Christ has been granted or gifted with this ability that God alone could give to us. And as a result of that, he empowers us to do certain things that we're uniquely suited for, that nobody else is suited for. Nobody could do what you can do. Nobody is just like you. You're incredibly unique in that. In Ephesians chapter 2, toward the end of verse 9, 10, he says that we're God's workmanship, and that word workmanship in the Greek is the word poema, and it's where we get the word poem from. It's like we're his work. He's built us, and he's established us, and he poured creative energy into us. We're his poem, so that we can do the works that he's established for us to do. He set us apart to do those very things. He's gifted us. Now, some of you are incredibly humble folks, and you say, oh, no, not me. I've got nothing. But you do. That God has gifted you very uniquely, very special, to be exactly who you are. And what good is that unless we do something with it, right? To bottle it up and say, oh, well, you know, just kind of, yeah, it's just me. I just have this couple little thing that I can do. It's like, not a little thing. You're God's poem. You're his creative energy's been poured into you. And he's built you. He's blessed you to do the very thing that he has called you out to do. And it's your responsibility to assume that. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. This is why we pound on this in this church all the time. I say we, it's probably me. We pound on this because you are so uniquely gifted that if you're not functioning, we're not functional. If you are not functioning, we're not functional. You make us dysfunctional if you're not functioning. And quit making me dysfunctional. I got my own issues already. Don't compound them, all right? So we've got this stuff that's going on, and it's like, where's the hand? Where's the foot? Where's the eye? Where's the ear? Come on, let's combine here. Oh, no. Can't really do much. I got nothing in the tank, and I'm not really that special. Oh, I don't think many of our body parts are all that special, but go without one for a day or two and see how functional you are. And that's the way the church is. If everybody is not playing their part, we're dysfunctional. And I've never seen the reality of this more than in whenever a church has a project to do. And you see people showing up, and you see gifts arriving, and people start doing what they're good at, and you just see stuff getting done, and things move forward, and it's powerful, and God gets glory as a result of that. And in contrast to that, we see it working the other way too. There's a thing to do, and we're going this way, guys, and you know, you get 30% to show, and it's like, oh man, we're not really accomplishing the mission, are we? No, not really today. We're kind of hitting on about a third of our cylinders, and we're really not doing real well. And it affects the functioning of the body. And so we've been blessed as a result of the gift of God being given to us. And he says, as a result of being given the gift, use it. Doesn't do any good if it's not used. Number five, he's blessed us with a forever family. As a part of coming into the kingdom of God, it's not just a kingdom, but it's also a family. It's a community. And so we talk against the language of, are you going to church today? Because that doesn't represent who we are as a family. I don't say, I'm going to house today. I say, I'm going to go to be with my family today. We don't just like go to a place or talk about it as if it's an inanimate object. It's a living thing, and we're part of it. And the same thing with the gifts. If we're not a part of it, we draw out some of the life of the family. And so he's blessed us with a family that's around us, and this family loves you, celebrates you, rejoices with you, cries with you, mourns with you, encourages you, forgives you. All of that stuff happens as a result of being a part of a family of God. Now, just like in other natural families, the family of God can be somewhat dysfunctional. How many have the perfect home life? I just saw a single guy raise his hand. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Most of us have dysfunction in our homes, right? Most of us is like, oh, that's a little out of whack. What's going on? And the reason that happens is because it's normal. It's normal to have stuff going on that's like, that's not cool. Why are you so weird? We have weird people that around us, and we're part of that. And you come to a church, and it's not just, you know, your nuclear 5, 6, 8, 10 normal size family, you know. It's like this, oh my gosh, there's a couple hundred weirdos here. And we all bring our dysfunctions together, and we're just like this crazy dysfunctional group. It's like, hey guys, what's going on? And it's like, hey, it's another one of us. We can smell them. You know, we just know. Oh, you wouldn't want to have me part of the family because I've got issues. Oh, you're the only one. You're the only one. We're all totally normal. We come into the community, into the family, and we bring all of our dysfunction with us. And you go, oh man, welcome. You're in the right place. We'll get along really well here. The worst thing that happens is when people come into the community or into the family of God and they say, no, I'm fine. No, really, no, I'm real. And we're all together and we have this, you know, look, and we carry on ourselves like we're just, oh, I'm totally cool. Everything's great. Ever have any issues? Never. No. Never. Ever have any spats with you? No. Children, perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Straight A's, honor students, you know, going to Yale. All of that happens in my family. We know that's a lie. Nobody has that life. And yet we try to put on this facade that says, no, really, I'm not bad at all. I'm not dysfunctional. So if you're not dysfunctional, you don't belong here. That's just not the way it goes here. And so when we come into the family of God, we're blessed as a result of having people just like us, all around us, accepting us just the way we are. And we're so happy to be that way. And so this is a blessing from God. It's not like, oh no, I can't go to church because I have this issue. Oh gee, serious. That's a really big deal. Who cares? That's awesome. At least you're willing to admit it. That's great. So we have seen the blessing of God in these areas and many, many more. Those are just five that came to my mind pretty quickly. And it makes life in the family so much fun. And it makes it, there's a sense of purposefulness and intentionality to it. Rather than just saying, well, I just go to church. Or I'm kind of a part of this group over here. Or I'm just an usher. I'm part of this thing that's going on and it's living and moving on. And why do we do any of the stuff that we do? Is God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. He's blessed us so we can be a blessing. And we carry on this blessing wherever we go with whatever we do. And when the body is functioning properly, this blessing brings God great glory. And that is what we really hope to see, that God gets lifted up through the meager efforts that we have and through the stuff that we attempt in his name, that God gets honor, that his reputation is built up in the community, that people look and see what the people of God are doing and they say, wow, something unique about that group of folks. I like what that's going on. And what is that? And we're able to point that all to Jesus and say, it's Jesus. He's just really a good God. He's a really good God. We have the blessing of God with us. And as a result, we're going to bless you with that. Tim Keller said, because Jesus served you in such a radical way, you have a joyful need to serve. If we don't understand what that really means for us or implies for us, then we're not grasping this the bigness of this thing, that God, what God has really done for us, the blessing that he's given to us. If we don't see how radically Jesus served us, we're not going to be inclined to serve anybody else besides ourselves. But once we grasp how amazing he has served us, then we can step out of all of the self-serving stuff that we do and start extending ourselves a little bit more to say, you know what? I think my life was intended to be a blessing to somebody else. It's not just about me. It's not just for me, but it's about God working through me to bless all the nations of the earth through the silly little things that I can do. Jesus said that to whom much was given, much will be required. There's not a one of us in this room that has not been given much. And you can look at that in a physical or a prosperity way, but it's a distortion of scripture to do that. But to those who have been given much, much is required. And we've been given life and life abundant. We've been given eternal life. We've been given this imperishable hope. We've been given mercy and love. We've been given so very much. And he says, whatever you've been given, you need to be a giver of that stuff. And if you don't, you're just sucking it up all by yourself and you're just living a life that's so diminutive compared to the grandness of God's glory. We have to get out of that mode. We have to see that my life is not about me being happy. It's not about me serving me. It's about me being a part of this blessing the nations thing and that I carry that out wherever I go. All of those blessings that God has given to us deserve to be spread about so that your neighbors, your coworkers, your family can be blessed as a result of you. It's not that complicated. It's really a simple equation. In the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Now he had, in another place, he says, "I'm the light of the world." Now he says, "Now you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Your light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." Let God get glory by you obeying him, moving out of a life that the culture would say is normal, a life of self. Let's move away from that so God can use you to be a light and that he gets a lot of glory as a result of that. If we do that, we see lives changed. We see people affected. I'm in this room now and I'm just looking at faces and I think, I see so many wonderful stories of the goodness of God in this room, just in this small room with this many people. I see dozens and dozens of life stories that I know have been drastically changed by the goodness of God. Yep. And it's so amazing to see the way that God can use feeble folks like us to communicate this wonderful blessing to other people, and they get it, and then they're blessed as a result. It's such a great part of the plan. And he wants to use you and you and you and you to do all that stuff. That's amazing. R.C. Sproul said, "One of the worst things we could ever do is to waste the gifts that God has given to us." And our gifts are wasted when they're conserved, when they're held back, and when they're bottled up and never breaking out to do anything with them. We've got to see that each of us are a vital functioning part of this grand story of God being glorified and lifted up. You are part of that story. It's not about, man, look at, check this out. It is not about a building, right? It's not about a building. I don't care if you got crystal walls or if you got warehouse walls. It's not about a building. It matters little to nothing. I've seen people getting saved in mud huts, and I've seen people getting saved in straw thatched roof huts. I've seen all of that happen, and it had nothing to do with the building. I've seen it happen in cold weather, and I've seen it happen when people are just pouring sweat out of their glands. I've seen it happen in all kinds of places, and it never has mattered about the building. Never mattered. What matters is that people understand there's this thing that I've been commissioned to do by Jesus, and I want to be a part of it. And as we catch on to that, we jump on board with him, and things start happening as a result. It's a wonderful privilege that he's given us to be a part of this. In James 1:27, James writes, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." He says, you know, if you really want to be religious in a good way, help people that are in desperate need. If you really want to see God glorified, step out of your comfort zone a little bit and step into the lives of those who are in deep need. He talks about widows and orphans, and in this culture, widows and orphans were the bottom of this socioeconomic ladder. They didn't even rank. They were just nothing. He said, take the lowest of the low and lift them up. Get underneath them and start lifting them up. Extend yourself on their behalf. Pour your life out for them. And check out what God will do as a result of that. If we're going to be a blessing, usually that entails getting our hands dirty a little bit. Usually it involves doing things that are very uncomfortable for us. And we'll come up with all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't or couldn't or whatever. But God using us is usually not totally comfortable. In fact, anything done that's not done in faith isn't even a true work of God, right? That's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. So it takes faith to step out and say, oh God, what can we do? What should we do? Are you sure about this one? This seems too big, too tough. That's not me. Giving our leftovers was not the goal when God called us. Giving whatever we felt okay with was not what he had intended. Sacrifice and surrender and selflessness, those are all words that are woven all the way through the Christian message, that we give ourselves to the point where, you know, we use what we need, but everything else is not for me. And we allow ourselves to be used up, not spat out, but used up, so that God can be glorified through the stuff that we do. If we get this, we can change. I don't know if we can change the world. That might be a little overstated. But I do believe that we can change our neighborhoods. I do believe we can change a family or two. I do believe we can change the lives, the course of a life for an individual that we're involved with. I do believe that is absolutely the case. And if each of us does our part, then God sees lots of lives change in this whole thing. And kingdom gets increased as a result. And there is net gain to what we see happening in our community. You know, we have several examples of that of ways that we get involved with our community, and I would just encourage you to consider various ways of getting involved in our community, of being a blessing to other people. And some of them are specifically church-related, but some of them have really an indirect link to the church, and that's great too. I believe that we have various ministries around here that are very, very church-centric. I'm thinking, say, Celebrate Recovery happens on Wednesday nights, and we invite people to come who are willing to admit that they've got they've got an issue. They've got a dysfunction. They're just saying, yeah, that's me. And willing to drop all the facade and say, yeah, and come and just be honest and let God work and let God do miracles in their lives. And we see that happening every week. And we see this on Saturdays, we see literally dozens and dozens of families come through here every Saturday to come and get food because they're food deprived. And they need food. And so they come here and we can be a part of that process as well. And we can help them get to a position of sustainability, at least of their lives and their families can be stable. We see these things happening on a regular basis. Now, these are church-centric kind of ministries. We see that happening on Tuesday nights where youth come here and they, not anymore, they're coming to the other building, but they come together and they're built up by the Word of God and they do worship and they fellowship and they're directed and guided and shepherded to a place of knowing who the Savior is and knowing what He thinks of them and knowing how God wants to use them in their life and giving them a picture, a vision for their life that's bigger than what they see in their culture. It's a wonderful way to see God's name be spread and God get glory. We also can be integrally involved with our public schools. We beat on this drum a lot, but it's absolutely true that the church should not stay within the walls. We must go into our community. We must break out of this, you know, fortress mentality. We've got to get out of here. Now, if we do that, it changes the way that we start looking at this idea that I'm a blessing and I'm going to carry a blessing out with me. It's not just, hey, come to me and I'll bless you. It's, hey, I'm going out and I'm going to be a blessing. And we can get involved in so many different ways that way. So many different Christ-centered organizations need help. And invite different unique gifts and abilities to be a part of what's going on with that. It's just what we do if we're going to be a blessing. One of the just real personal things that when we first started investigating that building and saying, is this a good place for us? Somebody we had come and help us deduce if that was a good fit for us said, and this was kind of revolutionary to me at the time, but he said, look at all the families that you could encourage. Look at all the kids that you could build up. Look at all the marriages that could be strengthened as a result. Like, oh, that's, even if they don't know they need us, they need us. And so we're there for them. We're going to go there and we're going to do what we can to do those very things. Encourage and build families and encourage and build marriages together and encourage and build children. Get some of God's blessing into their lives, whether they know they're getting it or not. And that's our role as the people of God. We've been blessed, so we're going to be a blessing. We can't help it. If we extend ourselves on their behalf, they will be blessed. I'm excited about that. And I'm not just... It's not because of the move. I'm just excited because I feel like there's this renewing of the vision within us to say, let's get outside of where we are. Let's go beyond this idea of, you know, hey, just normal church, you know, show up on Sunday, scatter, come back on Sunday, scatter. It's like, no. Let's carry on the mission of God. Let's do what He's called us to do so that God gets glory. We live in great joy as a result of seeing God get glory. And God's name is spread. Let's do that. Let's have the worship team come up. We have a great privilege, and it's quite unique for us, actually. Not too many churches that are 24, 25 years old just kind of relocate, replant. Not too many churches just do that. You know, once they find location, they kind of just stick there until they die. And we get this, it's like it's a revitalization, it's a renewal of the vision, and to see what God is going to do and how exciting that can be. That's, man, what a blessing we've been given by God to be able to do that. I'm so thrilled to be a part of that. And so I want to encourage you to just be a part of that with us and come along with us, and let's be a blessing to those that are around us. Let's be a blessing to this community. Let's be a blessing to all those whom our lives affect. I think it's just an astounding opportunity for us. So we're going to, Justin mentioned it a little earlier, we're going to take an offering today for the building. We set a goal at the beginning. We need about $150,000. So far we've collected all but 30% of that. Okay, so 70% we've collected. $105,000 have come in out of the 150. So that's cause to give God glory, actually. So we're gonna take this offering. We're gonna take two more, and then we're gonna be done with that. And whatever monies we get in, that's what we do with it. And we go as far as that money will go, and then we just stop. So we're gonna take that offering now. So ushers, why don't you come on up, pass those things around. If you weren't planning on this morning, there's no pressure. There's nothing like, yay, guys, this is it for you. It's not like that. But hopefully it's one of those things where people have, go ahead, you can go ahead and pass them, yeah. It's one of those things where people have been thinking about that, and God has been moving on your heart to do that. So if that's the case, that's where it is with you. As those baskets are being passed, let's sing this song. Okay.